See, it's stuff like this that gives me trust issues.
Welcome to the Trust Issues Podcast. We have trust issues with the traditional society-dictated path, with the status quo, with the whole get an education, land a job, and work tirelessly until you're 6 feet under. It's time to upgrade your life with the help of us. I'm Erica.
And I'm Kyle Auckland. We're a husband and wife duo, but we're also entrepreneurs, biohackers, and business builders.
Every week, we're dedicated to having purposeful conversations with each other and leading experts on topics like wellness, relationships, and entrepreneurship.
Subscribe to Trust Issues Podcast if you're looking for bold topics, honest dialogue, and valuable lessons. So welcome back to another episode of Trust Issues Podcast.
Here we are.
And today, we are doing a little off-the-cuff episode here, and it is about what to do if your spouse or partner is not supportive.
What do you do?
Whew.
What do you do?
Run away. Episode over.
Right to jail.
Jail. Let's start at square one with it. If you have a spouse or partner who just really isn't supportive, you need to back it up a little bit, and you have to get to a point where you guys aren't even talking about what business you want to do, what you want to accomplish. You have to bring it back down to square one of like, it's time for us to date each other again. It's time for us to get close again. It's time for us to like kind of have a rebirth moment of our marriage of like.
Well, it's like, why don't you support each other in the first place?
Exactly.
There's a deeper problem here.
Yes.
I'm not a therapist, but.
No. And that is, you know, because we hear it a lot. That's a common theme, especially with line of work with direct sales and stuff. It's, you know, my partner isn't this. And it's just like, okay, well. You know, that's been my one piece of advice is like you have to treat it so serious and like to get your spouse's attention, be like, hey, I really want to talk to you about some stuff. Like we need to make time for this. Like that's like the easiest thing you can do. And if they're really not doing that, like if they don't even want to acknowledge that conversation that you want to have.
Well, then you might be married to the wrong person.
Yes.
I mean, just saying.
I know.
And he doesn't want to sit down with you on a conversation. I don't know, girl.
It's kind of like, who did you marry? Like, you know, was it always this way? Like, was it, you know?
Well, I think also it comes back down to like, have you ever actually sat down and had a conversation about what you both want in life?
Exactly.
What matters to you? What are your priorities? What do you see your life being in 5-10 years from now? Do you dream together? Do you talk about the future together? Do you talk about goals together? Because if you don't and you're like come out of left field and you're like, hey, I want to do this thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe he doesn't get it because you don't actually talk, you know?
Yes.
And I think that's like the bottom line of like, yeah, like date each other. Like,
yeah.
Let's get on the same page about life and what we want.
And also, to be fair, this isn't like just about bashing a spouse. This is
no.
also like, this is also like.
Maybe a little.
Maybe you. No.
Just kidding.
Maybe you need to look yourself in the mirror.
Me?
No.
You can say that. You're pointing at me.
I'm pointing this way.
No, you're pointing straight up at me.
No. I'm not talking about you. I don't even.
You remember. Can. It's fine.
No.
You can call me out.
I'm not calling
you out.
I
can handle it.
No. I was going to say, maybe you need to look yourself in the mirror. And it's like, how many times have you brought something new to your spouse and just like either just let it fall flat on its face? Or it's like maybe your husband or whoever is like, oh, just
here we go again.
Yes.
You said you were going to do this, but you didn't do it.
Yeah. So maybe you need to like pump the brakes a little bit. And like well, I said, it kind of goes back to have a rebirth moment with your spouse. Maybe like you start small steps, like start dating, have real conversations that segue into these larger ones that maybe they can get on board with, you know?
Well, I think like there's an element of I can speak for our relationship,
sure.
Right? Okay. I'll speak to us because I don't know y'all's marriages, relationships, spouses, boyfriends, girlfriends, whatever. And
yeah.
It's all cool. But here's what I'm going to say. In our relationship, I feel like at any point, you just want to make sure that we're okay.
Yeah.
We're safe. We are taken care of. We're not making reckless decisions. I'm definitely the one who has more crazy ideas.
Sure.
I will launch something and figure it out as I go. I am like the queen of messy action. I do things before I have a plan all the time.
Yeah.
Like I'm just like, well, it'll work out. And you're definitely more cautious. You're definitely more like, let's think about this. When I was like, hey, let's move to North Carolina or let's move to Nashville, Tennessee. I mean, I remember when I brought to you, I was like, I want to move to Nashville.
it was like, it took you like 7 months to come around.
Yeah.
It took you a minute. You were like, whoa. I was like ready to pack up that day and move our whole life. Well, because
again, it was like, okay, we just got to a point where we've made some really cool strides and now it's like.
And for me, I was like, let's rip it all up. Yeah. Let's start over. Who cares? Let's get crazy. You're over there like hyperventilating. I'm like, bro, it is not that serious. Like, who cares? We'll figure it out like we always do. But I get it. No, yeah. But there's, I think in our relationship, you keep us grounded and I'm like the crazy fiery. I'm the pusher. I push everything all the time. I'm like, we should do
this.
Which
I love. We need it. It's a good balance.
It's a like, good balance. Yeah. And we balance each other. And I'm so grateful for that. But I think that in times where you have like tried to pull me back, it's not in a way of like, I don't want you to do that or I don't support you. It's been like a, hey, let's have a moment to make sure we're on the same page. And like, this exactly. is a good decision we're making.
Yes.
And I appreciate that because there's a lot of times that you've cautioned me and it actually was a terrible decision and I was wrong and you were right. Well, so that's fine.
And that's a good piece of advice. If your spouse or partner comes to you, whatever it is, it's like, don't say no right away. Like I don't say no to you. I say, let's lay all the pieces out.
That's very wise.
And let's see if it's doable at this very moment or if we need to shift things around so we have to do it later or, you know what I mean? Like, it's never like, no. Like, there's never that. It's always like.
Well, that's not communication. Exactly. Let's be clear that, like, communication is not just cutting someone off and being like, no, that's a dumb idea. Like, yeah. I don't want you to do that, whatever. Yeah. Like, you've always been willing to have the conversation of like, well, why do you want to do that? Or what's your thought process behind that? And I think that's communication 101 is being able to have healthy dialogue, which we have really worked really, really hard to have because there's been years and years before that we had really shitty communication. Oh. So we've had to work really hard for that.
Yep.
But I think like at the end of the day, if someone's not supporting you, it's like, is it because it's the wrong person in your life?
Yeah.
Or is it because you're not working actually on the relationship?
Yeah.
I mean, and then, you know, if it's the first one, that's a tough place to be.
It is.
If it's the second one, you can always work on that.
Yeah.
You can work on figuring out together what you want. And I think too, like if your spouse isn't supportive, have you actually shared with them the dream that you have? Because I think if there's a shared dream, a mutual dream,
exactly.
You both want it to happen.
Yes. Yeah. No. And that's feeding right into that. It's like a lot of people will just say no because it's like, oh, you want to do this just so you can feel like you're something or make money for yourself or whatever it is. It's like, if you have those conversations as a couple, you can be like, well, actually, honey, I want to do this. So like you can be home with us more or you can explore an option that you want to do like
but
that.
I have a hot take.
Okay.
I have a hot take.
Pour it out.
Here's what I want to say to that though. Because what if your spouse or your partner does just want to do something for themselves? If you love that person, you do. You.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. No, I see what you're saying.
So it's like if you want to do something just for you, that's like, you know what? This would make me feel really excited and really awesome. And like, it makes me inspired. I'm like, babe, I want to see you feel good about what you do in your life.
Yeah.
So I'm going to support you.
But I will also say we've kind of built up to that point where we can have those conversations where you're like, hey, I want to do this for me. You know?
Yeah. Well, if we didn't, then it would be a different story. It'd be a different ending here. We might not be on this show. But like that, the thing is that we were both willing. What I'm trying to say is we were both willing to be like, actually, sometimes it's okay for my partner just to do something because it for makes sure. them happy.
Yeah.
Like, because no, if you're right. love and that, someone, you want them to be happy.
Yeah.
And we are all, as individuals, we're individuals before we marry someone.
Yeah.
So as an individual, you have your goals, you have your dreams, you have your passion. So please, if you're engaged or dating someone, talk about that first.
Yes.
Don't just you know, month three marriage. Guess what? I'm a totally different person than you thought I was because I was just like, no, like there needs to be no secrets. But I think like sometimes you just need to realize that when you're married to someone, for example, this is not necessarily like a dream or a goal or whatever currently that you have, but you are someone who takes your health and your wellness super serious because it's something that makes you very happy. It's something that is an outlet for you. It's something that you enjoy to do. Sometimes that could get in the way of my agenda or the things that I have on my calendar for the day.
It's true.
But because it makes you happy, it's a priority.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, you don't need to give me a reason for why you want to do this. You just need to tell me that you need to do it. And I know that it's going to make you happy. And I want to work around that because I want to make sure you have that. Because ultimately, if you're married to someone or if you're with someone, you want them to be happy. You want them to be the fully expressed version of themselves.
Yeah.
And that's true love. True love is seeing someone and saying, you are happy in what you're doing. You're pursuing the things that make you lit up and you feel fully expressed in that.
True love is at the end of the day, it's sacrificing for each other.
Yeah.
That's all. It's
every
like,
day.
So if you're, that's the other thing. If your spouse is never sacrificing for you.
You sacrifice a lot for me. You do. You well, really have always done that. But you do that a lot. I probably could work on that more. Like, we'll have this conversation. I could probably do that more. I think, like, you're really good at that. And it's a thing that you've actually taught me more about.
I like doing things for others. The you people do. I love, I like doing things for them. I like
that's definitely your
I like
innate.
Giving to them. That's like, you know.
That's your nature, for sure.
Yeah, that's just part of me.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, I think that that's a beautiful thing, and I'm grateful for it, because I can't imagine if it was the other way, you know. And I think that's, again, like, choosing who you marry is the most important decision of your life, I believe.
Yeah.
It really is. I think about so many hard things we have gone through, and so many – and the thing is, too, is that – let's back it up for a second, because there's times where I've made decisions that you have supported – because you wanted to support me, because you wanted to see me happy, because you were in that moment giving me, you're really acting out of sacrificial love.
Yeah.
Okay, babe, you got this, whatever. And it ended up not being like the best decision.
Yeah.
Ended up actually being a poor decision.
Yeah.
And there's been a lot of moments when I've done that. And you've never held that over my head.
No.
Never.
We've definitely adjusted. Now it comes like.
Sure. But I just want to say that, like, that's a huge element of a successful relationship. It's like you have to be able to let the person you're with fail sometimes.
No, it's so true.
You have to.
Yeah, you do.
And like be there to be like, hey, we're in this together. Like you failed. Like hopefully if I fail next, like you're going to have my back. Like that's a successful relationship.
Yeah. Because it is. I mean, you know, I guess speaking directly to marriage, I don't know. I'm not even speaking to people who are dating or single. It's like if you're married, it's like you're in the same boat together. It's like.
Till death do us part.
You got to have each other's backs. You got to, it's like, and in that marriage, you each have to, you know, chase your, I don't know, your passion. Or if you want to do something, like you said, allowing them to fail. It's like, you can't just like be super safe and sit there together forever. It's like, you got to try things, you know, you got to go after. It's like, there's seasons where like, where you go after something and then there's a season where I do something. It's like, that's, you know, it's like there's a balance, but we always have the communication around it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think you have taught me so much about sacrificing for others or those that you love. And then I think I'm definitely in that role of I've probably, and maybe you can speak to this, but I've taught you more about like pushing and like getting out of your comfort zone.
Oh yeah, absolutely. No, and that's, I come from, everything's very safe. You stay in the bubble, like, you know, be smart, 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 save, that type of thing. And
frugal,
it's
frugal,
like, yeah.
Conservative.
And there's nothing wrong with that, but you really open me up and stretch me to like what's possible. So like, that's why I said you being a pusher, I don't ever hold that against you. Like you're the driving force with it. Like that's, you know, how you want to go after a crazy idea. It's like, okay, let's see if we can do this. Like, let's try and map it out. You know, it's like, it keeps it going. So whenever you come up with something, I'm usually always on board. Even this, I mean, our podcast, we're like, yeah, let's do it. Okay. You know,
we're here.
Yeah.
We're recording. Give us the tea. What has been a decision or something that I like pushed that you were like the most skeptical about?
Oh,
if you have
man.
An example, something that you were like, dude, are you crazy?
The craziest thing, it hasn't even been businesses. It's been the moving. That's been probably the, and obviously it was always for the best, but like, I think that's the thing that always was like, whew, like new city, new people, new, like, it's like, man, you got to really expand yourself when you jump into a new city. That's just how you have to be. So I think the biggest one was Charlotte to Nashville. It was like, okay. Cause I, for some reason,
it was 2018, we moved from Charlotte to Nashville.
But I just felt like, okay, like, we don't have the exact circle we want in Charlotte yet, but like we can get it, you know. But then you were like, I want to go to Nashville, and it was like, oh man, like that was like, oh, this is big, this is a whole nother move, this is a whole nother, you know. So I think that was the biggest one, but it paid off.
It's
like, you know, now we have our home here in Tennessee and our life here in Tennessee, and we love it, you know.
You trusted me. I was like, we got to do it. I just knew it.
Okay, so let's kind of getting into it a little bit for some help here, like some tangibles we can give. I would say if you have an unsupportive spouse and you're not sure how to handle it, you have to, and I mean like an unsupportive spouse who's like never wants to hear any idea, doesn't, you know, and you know you want to be with this person, if that's the route you're going to go, you know you're in this together. It's like, you need to start very small. So like, keep it all positive and love, and start with like, hey, honey, let's do like maybe one day a week, me and you just go do something new. Like, start literally so small. Don't even bring up an idea or what you're ready to go after or to see if they'd be supportive. Like, start with like, and I said this earlier, like, treat it just like you're working on your relationship together again. Like, date your spouse again. Create a new relationship together where it's like you start to open up with them with like, I love you for these reasons. And then they can kind of reciprocate that. And that those like small steps of like showing someone you love someone.
What's an investment in the relationship?
Exactly. That can slowly
build trust,
blossom into bigger things. And then if you do that for a couple months and you have this newer relationship with your spouse where you are more open, you're having more fun, you're having better conversations, all of it, it's going to be much easier to like be like, hey, you know, I have been kind of working on this thing, like, or whatever it is, you know. It's like, that is I feel like that is such a better route to get someone supportive. And that's going to take work. Like, you're going to have to put in work to like, you know, regrow that relationship with your spouse.
Well, thank God you have that much patience.
No, but that's
you know, because I think that for me, my initial reaction was like, bye. Like,
listen,
but you're right. You're right. I'm not saying
wrong. Bye is easy, though.
I know. You're so right. And yeah. I'm owning that. Like, yeah. I think my energy is always just like, bro, you don't support me. Like, but obviously not in our relationship.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine. I guess I'm just like, I can't even imagine if someone's like, oh, of course, do what you want to do. But like, I understand there's people listening right now who literally are in that.
And
they're in the thick of that.
There's also a lot of people who...
So you're giving good advice. For the record, this is good advice. I'm listening. I'm writing notes right now. But keep going.
Listen,
keep going.
There's a lot of people who get married young.
Yeah,
they don't even know who they are yet. Like, they don't even really know their passions yet. It isn't until like your, honestly, like your late 20s or even your early 30s that you're kind of like...
What do I want?
I do like this thing. I want to go after... So like, that's where the whole, you know... Maybe try and form a new relationship with that person. Like, yeah. That's an easier way to explore new avenues of passions and work or whatever. It's like, you know, you can't just like throw something on. Like, if your husband or whoever gets home, like I used to, 9 o'clock after work, they're dead tired. They want to eat. And you're just like, hey, I have this opportunity. I want to do it. What do you think? I really am going to, you know, no one wants to hear that. They're like,
yeah, well, it's also like, so there's this book that you actually introduced me to.
Yeah.
It's called, and I just pulled it up, it's called Hard Times Create Strong Men. It's by Stefan Arneo. Unfortunately, he's recently passed, but he is an incredible mind around the whole feminine and masculine energies.
Yeah.
He wrote an incredible book. He also has a book for women around this as well.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, on the feminine
but
side.
But in the book, he talks about how when you look back and you date through history, oftentimes most of the most successful rulers being men.
Sure.
Kings, emperors, fill in the blank. Most of them were really navigated behind the scenes by their queen.
Yeah.
By the female that was in their life.
Yeah.
And he documents about the influence that, let's say, in a king and queen role, that the queen would have behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And so often the king being this figurehead, having an insecurity about a decision going into war or doing something in their kingdom. I don't know, whatever kingdoms do, right?
Yeah.
And the queen would be so much of the influence and the driving force behind his decisions. And I think about this all the time when I have women come to me and tell me like they're struggling in their relationship with their husbands.
Yeah.
They're struggling with getting their support. I'm like, girl, if you show up as a queen in your relationship and you understand the feminine and masculine energy and you understand how to navigate that, for the most part, just going to say it, you can get a lot of what you want.
You can.
You really can. You can get what you want.
Yeah.
If you understand those roles and that dynamic of like really being able to speak to him in a guidance type of way and presenting things in a specific way, the book is phenomenal. And I don't want to be this as like a knock to women because I'm all about empowered females. And it's one of the biggest passions of my life is helping women feel empowered to create more financial stability in their life and to do things really from a place of ambition and their own drive. But if you are in this role and you're finding yourself, you're finding it difficult or challenging to get the support, if you will understand how to come to your spouse with the problem or with the question, it's everything. And so if we're talking tangibles, you know, you said creating this environment where you guys work in your relationship together. I think that's really, really great. I think from a female's perspective, and when I'm coming to you, I know that you're very much a protector. You don't want us to fail at things. You want to take care of us. And so if I'm going to come to you with something, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to very much present it to you with my thoughts well thought out, with my bullet points, you know, already there, with my ideas already formulated a bit, and also with my intention, so that I can say, hey, I want to do this. I think this is what we should do. Hey, I want to move to Nashville. Hey, I think we should move to Nashville. Here's why I think we should move to Nashville. Here's why I think this is going to be beneficial for both of us, for our family, for our future, and making it about us as a unit versus just me as an individual.
So
that's, if you're in this place of, I do not know how to approach the conversation, make a little business plan. Make a little presentation. I have a girl that I work with, and she said she was presenting to her husband an idea that she had, and she put a PowerPoint together. She was a teacher, former teacher, so that was in her wheelhouse. But I mean, how intentional to be able to say, like, I'm not just gonna, you know, put something on the side or passively aggressively make a comment or like hope that you're picking up my signals. I'm sorry, but men are not mind readers unless you know of a different type of species out there. I have not experienced that, that you're a mind reader. I have to be very direct. I have to be very clear. And I also have to be really intentional with the communication. And usually that really works. So if you're struggling with that communication, I can't recommend the book enough to understand, have a little bit of insight. And it really is powerful because it's, it goes back history into history, centuries of how really these gender roles have functioned. And I think how we can do it in a healthy way today in society with how our society is so different. It's just such a powerful book. I'm obsessed. It's really good.
Well, even in the movie 300, it's with King Leonidas.
Can you please share that story?
What?
The whole story about the 300?
Oh, yeah.
That is so good.
There's actually 2 points I was going to make there with 300. The first one was, it's like King Leonidas eventually went into battle because of the communication he had with his queen. Like, and even I think even in the, I could be wrong, but even in the movie when he like kicks that guy into the pit, he literally like looks at his wife and his wife nods like, this is what we have to do.
Wow.
And like, he, you know, that's how it starts.
Chills. Well, it's like, spine. Women, we are times, powerful.
All those times, it's like everyone had, was scheming in their own ways. You know, it's like the only one someone like a king could trust with his queen, because that's the only one who's like in his corner.
Wow.
But then also, I guess the other point, it was, I forget what book it is in also. I could pull it up. I have it upstairs on my nightstand. But
it might be the same book.
No, it's not. No? Okay. It's actually different. But King Leonidas, they selected the 300 based on the women. So basically the moms and the spouses, like the men were basically chosen who was going to go into this battle because they knew like we're all going to die.
They knew that it was a suicide mission.
It was a suicide mission to protect obviously their stronghold. And it was like, they chose the men based off the mothers and the wives. They were, he was like, these are the women who are the strongest women in our community, and they're going to be okay if they lose their husband or their son in this battle. So like, he was like, these are the people who are,
they will carry our society forward.
Yes.
They'll carry our,
so that's why we're choosing these men. It's like, so if that,
it wasn't about the strongest men.
No, it was about,
it was about the strongest women.
Who's going to be left behind to, you know, tend to the community. And
I love
and the
that
people.
For us.
Yeah. I forgot about that, that part
that's
of it.
It's so powerful.
It is. It is. It's so cool. Kind of to close out this conversation, I would say best thing you can do with your spouse is start small, right? Start small and
patience, I guess.
Patience, and
it's a dance.
It's going to be a dance, and it might take some time. Okay. And also I will say this, if there is something you're wanting to go after and you bring it to someone who's, you know, has a track record of not being 100% supportive, but maybe you go forward with it, you better stick to what you say you're going to do.
Have a track record or follow through.
You better stick to it, and you better show that person you're with, I'm serious. Like, I will accomplish these things, and you better not just like flake out and quit after something doesn't go your way. Because guess what? You're going to shatter the entire castle that you just started building with your husband or whoever it is, you know?
Well, it's trust.
Yes.
It's all trust, right? Yeah. And I think without trust, trust issues. We all have trust issues.
See what we did there?
See what we did? I mean, we all have trust issues.
Of course.
So if you want it to be healthy, if you want it to work out where you both can support each other mutually, like, yeah, you got to build that trust. And follow through is everything.
Yes.
Unfortunately, sometimes, you know, we don't have follow through. We say we're going to do things. If we don't do them, who can you blame?
Yes.
But yourself.
Yep.
That's powerful.
So good.
Well, thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Trust Issues Podcast. If you want to enter the conversation, you can come over to Instagram at Trust Issues Podcast. And don't forget to subscribe. You can subscribe on Spotify, iTunes, or YouTube, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you guys next time.